We shall now turn to the chapter which we read in Hebrews chapter 10, and our text for this morning is verses 35 and 36. Hebrews 10, verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." We can easily be discouraged. The Christian life is often hard. We face opposition from the world and the flesh and the devil. Christianity is not popular. It's not easy to be unpopular. It's not easy to crucify the flesh. Our bodies should be the servant to our souls. But the problem with us often is that the body is the master. And of course then, the lusts of the flesh reign. The devil is always trying to dishearten us, discourage us, distract us, trip us up. Now the Hebrews to whom this epistle was written, the Hebrews, they were being tempted at this point to give up. They were finding the Christian life really difficult. And they were thinking of turning back. Maybe you too are being tempted to give up at this point. It can be difficult, but no. You must go on. Cast not away the confidence that you have, which hath great recompense of reward. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. A great promise has been made to you. Don't lose out on the promise. There's a blessed future. Make sure it's yours. So first of all then, this morning, the confidence of the Christian. This is very important. It's vital for us to have hope. To realize that the best is ahead. There's a great future in front of us. In chapter 6 and verse 9, we are told that we have an anchor in the storms of life. And that anchor is hope. An anchor. You know how important an anchor is for a ship. When there's a great storm blowing, when there are jagged rocks all around, it's so vital that the ship be kept, that the anchor be firmly fixed in the rock, that the chains hold. And so it is with us as Christians. We need our anchor fixed in the rocks of heaven, so that although all the storms that the devil sends towards us, the gales, the hurricanes that come from him, that they will not shift us or budge us or cause us to move, lest we be dashed to pieces on the rocks. We have a great hope. Christ died for our sins. He atoned for them. He made peace with God on our behalf. Having died for our sins, he rose again. Because Jesus rose, we shall rise too. The basis of our hope is the finished work of Christ. Finished. Completed. It is done. I've saved them. I purged their sins before I ascended up to heaven. That's the basis of our hope. That's the reason that we can feel assured with regard to the future. Christ did it. His work is completed. But more than that, we have God's word, God's promises, and the scripture cannot be broken. The truth of God's word, it holds firm. Not even the roaring lion, the devil, can break God's word. Not even God himself can break his word. He's the God that cannot lie, and he's made great promises to you who believe in Jesus, to you who trust in him. Therefore, you have hope as an anchor for your soul. The world around us, it has no confidence with regard to the future. The unbeliever dying, he hopes everything will be okay. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know Jesus as a Savior. He has no promise of heaven. His hopes are vague dreams. He hopes that God is so loving that and so merciful that he will pardon him. He hopes that his works have been good enough in order for him to escape hell. He hopes that somehow or other he'll make it into heaven. But his hope is like the straw which a drowning man catches. What good is a straw to a drowning man? And what good is the hope of the unbeliever in the face of death and judgment? But you fellow Christian, you have confidence. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has said, henceforth there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give you in that day. With the Apostle Paul, you can say, I know him in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know him. I've got to know him. And having got to know him, I am persuaded that I'm safe. Safe in life. Safe in death. Safe in eternity. The anchor fixed in heaven, in the rocks of heaven. The confidence then of a Christian. But secondly, the trials. These trials can be so difficult. You see them in verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully to the spoiling of your goods. What does this mean? It means that those who identified with the apostle, those who stood on the Lord's side, they suffered for it. Their goods were spoiled. Mobs came, robbed their houses and their possessions, and perhaps set their homes on fire and destroyed their belongings, their wealth, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Or verse 32, call to remembrance the former days, years gone by, in which after you were illuminated, after the light dawned upon you, the gospel light shone into your hearts, you endured a great fight of affliction. Yes, you suffered. You suffered for Christ in these early days. partly whilst you were made a gazing stock. People looked at you, stared at you, laughed at you by reproaches and afflictions. And partly whilst you became companions to them who were so used, you stood on the side of the mocked, despised, rejected Christians and the crucified Christ. The cross, a cross of shame. And you stood with the Christians, and people laughed at you and mocked you and despised you and rejected you and persecuted you and robbed you and beat you up and cast you into prison. Yes, trials. Christians often suffer for their faith. Some Christians today have lost their job because of their Christian stand. Maybe you have been unable to get a better job, a good job, just because you weren't prepared to work on Sunday, or you weren't prepared to sign some statement of pretended equality, because you were identifying with Christian ethics, you weren't prepared to lie or to steal, you were too honest, therefore you lost out. That sometimes happens. It happens to Christians today. As a Christian, it seems often that Christians suffer far more than other people. Christians seem to have more illnesses, more troubles and difficulties. Why? Well, because God is dealing with them. Yes, dealing with them in love, but loving chastisement and correction is hard to bear. There's these trials which are there to purify your faith, and others seem to get off so lightly, and you have these deep, dark valleys through which you've had to go. But remember, disappointments are His appointments. God has appointed it for you and for your benefit. Yes, you've had your trials. But as the Apostle Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yes, you have these light afflictions today. And that's what they are. How could Paul call them light afflictions? Beatings and whippings and imprisonments and stonings and all sorts of things that happen to our light afflictions. Light in comparison to the afflictions of those who end up in hell. Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, how can they compare with the eternity in heaven? Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So, Christian friend, there are these times of loneliness, these times of rejection, these times when you're despised, these times when you're made the butt of jokes and scorns from the world around you, those times when Satan is sending all kinds of darkness into your life, times of hurt, times of suffering, trials and tribulations. But yet, remember the hope you have. The trials of the Christian, then. And you have your trials. But thirdly, you have need of patience. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, naturally, we're not patient people. It's not easy to be patient. It's hard to remain quiet at times when So many things are against you and so many nasty things are done towards you. And yet what an example we have in Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judgeth righteously. What an example Christ is to us. When he was reviled and mocked and ridiculed, he didn't answer back. He referred the matter to God. You have need of patience. Now, patience, almost always in the scripture, patience means perseverance. And that's the idea that's here, perseverance. You have need to persevere, to keep on going when you feel you should give up, to keep on going when the world's saying, curse God and die, when the world's saying, it's not worth it, when the world's saying, come along with us, don't be the odd one out, join with us, why miss out on all these good things that we have? And the devil's saying, give up, give up, give up. You're a failure. You might as well give up. You've sinned. You might as well sin again. You've done this. You might as well do that. Just go on and sin. Just carry on. And Satan's saying it. And the flesh within you is lusting after this and that and the next thing. And the flesh within you is cringing at suffering. And the flesh is saying, give up. You have need of patience in all these trials and tribulations. Now, patience and perseverance is a gift from God and a grace from God. Keep on going. Keep on looking to God for grace. Keep on praying for steadfastness, for endurance, for constancy. Keep on fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. Wage a good warfare. Yes, we're in a warfare as Christians. Don't give up. Keep on fighting. Fight on, fight on, fight on. It's those that fight on to the end that win the war. It's not enough to fight on for most of the time and then give up. Because if you give up before the battle's won, you perish. Keep on fighting. Keep on running the race. We're in this long race. You've got to keep on running. You mustn't say, I'm tired. I can't go on. I can't keep going. You must keep on running the Christian race. Keep on running till you get the prize. We live in difficult times, strange times, and it can be very hard times for Christians because you're missing out on church. You're missing the fellowship of God's people. You're missing on meeting up with friends, friends who would encourage you to be steadfast and keep going. And it seems, from what we hear from the world around us, from the churches, that many Christians are giving up. They're giving up on church. They're giving up on God. They're giving up on Christian things. They're growing cold. And the devil is getting the victory because they're not using the means of grace. And we've got to be concerned about this. It's so easy to fall away. Easy when others are falling away for you to fall away too. Patience, perseverance, steadfastness, carry on fighting a good fight of faith. Let no man take your crown. Hold fast and endure. Be faithful. Be full of faith, full of trust, full of prayer, looking to God and claiming his strength in difficult times. Keep going. Remember, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Christ's coming. He's coming soon. He's coming for you. Don't give up. The need of patience. And then, fourthly, faith is required. The just shall live by faith. By faith you become a Christian. What must I do to be saved? Believe, trust, rely, rest upon Christ. Take Christ as your Savior. Cast yourself at the feet of Christ for mercy. Depend on the cross of Calvary. By faith you're saved. That's the beginning. But it's not just the beginning. It's every day. And every day right up unto the end. And so every day you've got to cast yourself upon the Lord. Cast yourself afresh upon Christ. Depend more and more on him every day. The just shall live by faith. Not the just shall come to life by faith. Not the just shall be saved by faith, born again by faith, but the just shall live by faith. Every day keeping on going by faith. Faith is required. Believe and be saved. Believe and go on being saved. Keep on going daily, trusting, relying, coming with your needs to the Lord, praying to him, casting your burden upon him, running the race, looking unto Jesus. Lay aside the weight that's keeping you back, the sin that doth so easily beset you. Look into Jesus. Look in today. Look in tomorrow. Look in the next day. Look into Jesus. Looking for strength. Look into Jesus as the one who ran the race before you. Look into Jesus as the great example. But much more than that, look into Jesus as the one who puts power into your legs, who gives strength to your heart, who gives you the breath that you need, the energy to finish the race, to run and to keep on running until we reach the finishing post. Look into Jesus. Look into him for strength, daily drawing from him. We live, and we can only live by faith, trusting in him. What is your relationship to Christ? What's your daily relationship to Christ? Look into Jesus, is it? The just shall live by faith. Every day, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, strengthen me. Lord, help me. Encourage me. Enable me to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, to keep going, to persevere, to reach the finishing post. So faith is required. And then fifthly, you have a great future. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Your confidence. That thing which you're looking for, which hath great recompense of reward. There's a great reward. Great wages are yours, as it were. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You have been faithful in a little. now be set over much. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. If there's a prize, say there was a prize of £5, you might try to get this prize. But then, if there was another prize of £5 million, would you not try so much harder for this great prize, £5 million? Well, friends, we've got a prize far, far greater than 5 million. 5 million wouldn't buy it, nor 5 billion. A place in heaven. You can't measure the size of this prize. This great recompense, this great reward that is yours. Verse 38, the just shall live by faith. And when everyone around you is dying and men and women going down to hell, you shall live and you shall have everlasting life. The just shall live by faith. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. When souls around you are perishing, your soul is saved. You live. You have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Saved. Paradise. What is paradise? It is rest. Rest from your labors, rest from your struggles, rest from your sufferings, rest from the race. Rest. It's peace. Peace with God, peace in your conscience, peace towards your fellow man, peace, eternal peace. It's joy, joy unspeakable, joy everlasting, joy indescribable in its greatness. It's blessedness. No pain, no suffering, no tears, no death, no misery. To be with Christ, to be with your beloved, to be enjoying God, made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. A great reward, the reward of heaven. Do you despise it? Do you value it? And then the warning, finally. Cast not away your confidence. The great reward. Don't throw away your ticket for heaven. Don't throw away your guarantee for the future. Don't throw away your title deeds for the mansion above. How foolish. Sometimes you hear of those who've maybe got one of these lottery tickets and they've thrown it in the bin and it turns out that it was worth millions. Well, how much more, Christian friend, should you not cast away your ticket, your guarantee of heaven? For yet a little while and he shall come. He that comes will come and will not tarry. Yet a little while. It's only a little while. Won't be long now. And Christ will come. And if Christ doesn't come with the end of the world, Christ will come to take you away with death. Yet a little while. It won't be long. You're almost there. You've almost reached heaven. Are you going to give up at the end? Are you going to throw away the ticket just before you reach the door? And friends, it's not just a reward that awaits you, but there's also the contrast. Those who have the ticket get the reward. Those who don't have the ticket don't just miss out on the reward, but they have the punishment. They have the lostness. They have that other place, the place of fire, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, will you draw back? My soul shall have no pleasure in him, says God. And if God has no pleasure in you, you will have no pleasure in God. But very much the opposite. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. The apostle says, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition. No, and I'm persuaded better things of you Hebrew Christians too. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We keep on trusting and we persevere. And we will persevere. Are you of them that draw back unto perdition? Surely not. Keep going, fellow Christian. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep running the good race. Keep believing. The just shall live by faith. Keep on going. When the devil says give up, when the world says give up, and when unbelief and your own flesh is saying to you, give up. Don't give up. Keep going. There's a great future before you, fellow Christian. Let's pray. Help us, O Lord, to keep going unto the end, to fight the good fight of faith, to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labour is not in vain in the Lord. O Lord, our God, we thank thee that thou hast kept us up till now. Keep us for the rest of the race. Keep us unto the very end. Lord, thou hast begun thy good work in us. Don't leave it half finished, but perfect that which concerneth us. So, Lord, we look to thee to keep us. And we pray for grace to endure unto the end, for Jesus' sake.